Chapter 1. In late August, 16 residents of Moose County, a remote part of the United States, 400 miles north of everywhere, traveled to Scotland for a tour of the Western Isles and Highlands, lochs and moors, castles and crofts, firths and straths, burns and braes, fens and bens and glens. Only 15 of them returned alive, and the survivors straggled home in various states of shock or confusion. Among the travelers who signed up for the Bonnie Scots tour were several prominent persons in Pickaxe City, the county seat. They included the owner of the department store, the superintendent of schools, a young doctor from a distinguished family, the publisher of the local newspaper, the administrator of the public library, and a good-looking, well-built, middle-aged man with a luxuriant pepper-and-salt mustache and drooping eyelids, who happened to be the richest bachelor in Moose County, or, in fact, the entire northeast central United States. Jim Quillerin's wealth was not the result of his own effort, but a fluke inheritance. As a journalist, he had been content to pound a beat, churn out copy, and race deadlines for large metropolitan dailies down below, so Pickaxe folk called the urban areas to the south. Then fate brought him to Pickaxe City, population 3,000, and made him heir to the Klingenchen estate. It was more money than he really wanted. The uncounted millions hung over his head like a dark cloud until he established the Klingenchen Foundation to dispose of the fortune philanthropically, leaving him free to live in a barn, write a column for the Moose County Something, feed and brush his two Siamese cats, and spend pleasant weekends with Polly Duncan, head of the Pickaxe Public Library. When the tour to Scotland was proposed, Quillerin and his feline companions had just returned from a brief sojourn in some distant mountains, a vacation cut short by disturbing news from Pickaxe. Polly Duncan, while driving home after dark, had been followed by a man in a car without lights, narrowly escaping his clutches. When Quillerin heard the news, he had a sickening vision of attempted kidnapping. His relationship with Polly was well known in the county, and his millions made him an easy mark for a ransom demand. Immediately he phoned the Pickaxe police chief to request protection for Polly. Then, canceling his vacation arrangements, he made the long drive back to Moose County at a speed that discommoded the two yowling passengers in the back seat and alerted the highway patrols of four states. He arrived home Monday noon and dropped off the Siamese and their water dish before hurrying to the Pickaxe Public Library. He went on foot, cutting through the woods and approaching the library from the rear. In the parking lot behind the building, he recognized Polly's small gray two-door and an elderly friend's ancient navy blue four-door. There was also a maroon car with a Massachusetts license plate that gave him momentary qualms. He had no wish to encounter Dr. Melinda Goodwinter, who had come from Boston for her father's funeral. He mounted the steps of the stately library in unstately leaps and found the main room aflutter with small children. There was no evidence of Melinda Goodwinter. The youngsters were squealing and chattering and lugging picture books to the checkout desk, on which sat a rotund object about 3 feet high, like an egg with a cracked shell. The 6-foot-2 man, pushed through the horde of knee-high tots, went up the stairs to the mezzanine 3 at a time and barged through the reading room to the glass-enclosed office of the head librarian. None of the persons at the reading tables, he noted with relief, was the young doctor from Boston. Sooner or later, he would have to face her, and he was unsure how to handle their reunion. With cool politesse? With lukewarm pleasure? With jocular nonchalance?